Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men News. It is Friday. Jürgen Klopp has just done his press conference. I'm your host, Paul Machin, and Jack Gill joins me in the studio for this one. Yes, we're going to be talking about all the fallout from the manager's presser in a moment. Before we do, I just want to draw everyone's attention to theredmentv.com. We are sponsoring ourselves. You know why? Because what we do is better than pretty much the vast majority of sponsors on this planet. We're doing some great content, exclusive content. Got you covered from a video sense and a podcasting sense as well. So if you want to get the best content on the go straight into your native podcasting app, you can do that. It's boss. There's exclusive interviews there with the likes of Jürgen Klopp, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Jordan Henderson. We went all the way over to Rome to sit down in the back garden of Lucas Leiva and talk about his life and times, which was a rare treat. And a whole host of other things as well, and weekly shows expanding everything that's going on around the football club, in and out. Stats, tactics, transfer news and match reviews as well. So head over there. It's completely free for the first month, so make sure that you get involved. Right, let's dive straight into it then, Jack. The manager's done his press conference. It was, the United ones, the big games tend to be a little bit longer than normal. But it was actually quite interesting. We're going to talk about the AFCON stuff, the follow-up a little bit later on, but that was probably the most interesting part of the whole thing.
Yeah, it was interesting. Obviously, he spoke about injuries and then he went on to talk about previous fixtures with Man United where he mentioned how they played. And then the AFCON stuff I thought was really interesting at the end where sort of, you could see how upset he was, really, at the fact that they've decided to play that in the winter again.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's dive into it. First and foremost, we'll go through Moose Paul Gorse, the head Liverpool writer for the Liverpool Echo's Twitter account, because, you know, we'll do that and then we'll flick around, because why not? Anyway, asked about Matip and Fabinho. Klopp gave updates on both of them. He said they train normally today and yesterday as well, which means they're likely to be in the squad for the weekend. The other three, which is Dejan, Keita and Milner, are not likely. Dejan's probably going to be back out in full training from Monday onwards, but no more update on Keita and Milner, which is a shame, but at least we're in a situation now where Fabinho coming back in actually frees us up for a lot more. It gives us more options, because it means you can use Jordan Henderson in two positions now all of a sudden.
Yeah, easy to see as well why Nat Phillips was allowed to go back out on loan, because defensive crisis fixed in a matter of days, really. Mm-hmm. Good to have Fabinho back. You know, there was all that talk that we'd miss him loads before he got injured. We haven't actually missed him that much. Obviously, you miss a world-class player like Fabinho when he's out injured, but in terms of results, we've still been playing well, we've still been winning, so that's the important thing. I think he walks back into the team if he's fit, if I'm honest.
That's an interesting thing. I'm sure it was covered on the build-up show, which is on the main Red Men YouTube channel, of course, but for you, yeah, just go straight back into the game?
I think if he's fully fit, 100%. I think the way that Manchester United play with the counter-attack, I think it's perfect to put Fabinho in there. And to be able to cut that out, I think he's a fantastic player, and obviously I think personally he was one of our better players in the first half of the season, and I was gutted when we missed him. When we lost him, I thought we'd miss him a lot, but it turns out we haven't that much. I think Henderson's done a terrific job, but I've always seen him as better in the eight, and I think it'd be better to see that midfield three back in action.
Let us know your thoughts on that in the comments. Actually, the big debate for me is, because I thought we missed Fabinho against Spurs, because Spurs are a good team, and I think you need Fabinho against the top teams. You need as many world-class players. You need specialists when you're coming up to get against the best teams, because the best teams of the world have specialists in their positions. And my only qualm with that is, are Man United that good? They're gonna come and they're gonna sit and they're gonna be defensive, which Klopp mentions, which we'll talk about next. Do you need Fabinho in a game like this at home?
I think Fabinho was one of them signings for us that turned us from a very, very good side into a world-class side, you know, the best in the world. I think he was one of them signings that really helped Klopp take this side from one place to another. And I think this Man United game is massive. I think people don't realise how big it is. But to me, I see it as they're the only team this season to get points from us. Mm-hmm. They'll come to Anfield and I want to go away having dominated, having scored lots of goals and winning comfortably. I don't want United to have a sniff in this game whatsoever.
I think
Fabinho is one of the people that can...
I think you're dead right. Okay, the only reason I bring it up and why I'm interested in people's views, listening live on YouTube, or, you know, after the fact you can tweet us at the Redmen TV, of course, is because I think of those games where we have sat in and you just need a little bit more gal. I think Jordan Henderson has excelled, but you look at the teams that he's excelled against. He's not played in the six against... In the biggest games of the season, we've had a reasonably favourable run in that time. But yeah, let us know. Tom will take some of your questions and thoughts in a moment. Moving on then, so we'll talk about the Man United style of play. Klopp was asked about the game. I thought it was really interesting because there's a few things that are real buttons for Klopp. Players playing too many games is one, which again we'll come on to. But another one is again style of play. And maybe he's just a football romantic, and I remember like Arsene Wenger got slaughtered for this back in the day and what have you. But like, clearly prefers it when I don't think he's got a problem when Burnley decide that they're going to park the bus and they're going to try and beat you in a physical way because they haven't got the resources to compete. But you get the impression that it irks him that teams of the quality of Man United, and he even used the opportunity to drag Mourinho Spurs into it when you get an. I mean, he says here. Against Spurs, we had 80% possession after 70 minutes. That's not normal. I don't say Man United only counter-attack, and it's not a criticism, just a description.
He's spot on, isn't he? I think he came over from Germany. He had to adapt his playing style mm-hmm. to the Premier League. You've seen the way Klopp likes to play has slightly evolved over time. Mm-hmm. And I think he looks at so-called big teams. Well, I'll say so-called, they are big teams. But you look at Spurs and United, who have been struggling this season, and he sees them playing counter-attacking football. I think it confuses him a bit.
Yeah.
In terms of why can't they try and dominate the game, try and play like a big side, do you know what I mean? And it's interesting because I think in Germany, you look at how many teams push to become in that top four that season. I mean, their top 10 at the minute is so close. Yeah. And I wonder if that's where it comes from, you know, that mentality of...
It goes both ways because, like, Liverpool played counter-pressing, but, you know, Liverpool were a counter-attacking side largely in the first few years under Klopp as he was developing them. We've had to become a possession-based side because you can't counter-attack against teams that sit deep against you, is the point. So, you know, if you want to be a truly top team, you need to be able to be a really good... In modern football, because Mourinho's made a career out of not being a possession manager. He doesn't want the ball. In fact, he's actively said it's a part of his philosophy. When you've got the ball, you're more likely to fuck something up. So he prefers teams not to have it, and that's how, even going back to like 13-14 when Chelsea beat us, a couple of weeks before we played City, and like we were booing and jeering and hissing every single touch, and Liverpool totally and utterly ruined City that day. We tried to do the same against Chelsea. You can't boo when your own team have got the ball, is the thing. So I think that's really interesting, but yeah, it's all part of this. I think Klopp's kind of looking at it and going, I get what Mourinho, and I talked to Steve Howson about this actually on the Oppo preview. Solskjaer's building up this narrative of plucky underdogs, Man United. Oh, look at us, at our hard-working little kids, when they're this global multi-billion-pound company that can spend £375,000 a week on a goalkeeper's salary. It falls on deaf ears a bit, but I mean, he knows, doesn't he? He knows what's required in this game. It's going to be a big game, and at least he knows it. He might go, if he goes Solskjaer into being a bit more attacking, then he will kill them. Probably slightly easier than if they play the counter-attacking style.
It's one of them, isn't it? I think Solskjaer's made a bit of a tit of himself at times in the last couple of weeks, to be honest with you, which he continues to do more and more as he becomes. As he has that job for longer. And I think for Jurgen Klopp, he said a couple of times in that press conference, you know, he made sure that he kept saying, yeah, United are still a big club. And there's been a couple of talk, I think it was yesterday, Solskjaer's apparently said that he's got a special plan for beating us or whatever, which never works, does it, when opposition managers say that?
Well, you never know. I thought it was interesting that like Klopp was asked about it and he was like, yeah, anyway, have you got one method? He was, I hope so. You know, like, I hope we're working on something. I think he'll love it. I bet he's crossing his fingers that Solskjaer's got something new to throw at us. Mm-hmm. Because the more things that get thrown at this Liverpool side, the more things they learn and they get better as a result of it. So, yeah, I'm certain that if Solskjaer's got a plan, Klopp and Kravitz and Linders will be sat back rubbing their hands going, go on, let's see what your plan is, let's see how we cope.
Solskjaer's plan probably is, he watched Monday Night Football a few weeks ago when Rafa was on there and he was asked how to beat, he's probably just watched that and gone, you know what, let's do that and let's take that.
Let's have a little guess based on how people have tried to play against Liverpool recently. It's going to be long balls into the channels in behind Robertson and Trent and try and chase things down, or it's going to be straight balls over the top, again over the top down the middle, hoping that one of the fast players can run onto it on the counter attack, because that's what Spurs did for 70 minutes against us, and you know, a couple of opportunities, but I'm not sure United are going to try and play their way through,
especially without Rashford anymore.
Well, oh yeah, without Rashford, yeah, definitely without Rashford. Rashford's 100% not playing, is he? Bollocks, Rashford is starting that game. You can listen, take it to the bank. Anyway, yeah, Klopp, one of the more interesting things we'll talk about before we wrap up and get to your comments, he was asked about AFCON. Really, really interesting stuff. I'd actually recommend you go and watch his reaction to it if you're interested. This is Klopp's other big button, isn't it? He talks about how players are being overworked. It's only been a few weeks since leading up to Christmas and the Carabao Cup stuff, and he lost his head on this again. Every time there's a new tournament introduced, of which there's been a few since his tenure began, at least the ball like the Nations League, is that what it's called?
Yeah,
the League of Nations, whatever. he hates it. He absolutely hates it. And he said he loves. He says, I like the AFCON. It's a very interesting tournament. I like to watch it, but it's an obvious problem to play during our season. Doesn't help the players, but these decisions are made without asking the players or managers. In fact, I've got the really interesting quote here. He said he calls it a catastrophe. I haven't got that here. I can't find it. But he up, 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 up. Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There we go. Moving the AFCON to January for us is a catastrophe, losing three players, and we have absolutely no say in it. And that's the thing. It's if you're a nationalistic pride sort of person, you buy into international football, because odds are you support like York City or Bath, or, and I might be doing them a massive disservice, all those little towns that don't have major football teams or whatever, who love England but also hate the players for whatever reason. But he's right. You know, he's saying, how can it be that a business, you know, effectively that owns the contracts of these lads, are not allowed to say whether they go or not? We pay for them to go and play for their countries. And then in this instance, you know, he's right. You know, you're looking at Sadio Mane, Mohamed Salah and Naby Keita. I think in Klopp's mind, Jack, that's our, that, you know, if we've got a best 4-3-3 out on the pitch, those three are in that side. That's three of your 11 players who are going to be disappearing for at least a month in the middle of the season.
It's also the matter of, especially with Sadio Mane and Mo Salah, you look at Mane, he reached the final of the last African Cup of Nations. Senegal always go quite far in that tournament. Salah wants to win with Egypt. He said that he wants to win this competition with Egypt, so he'll want to go far in that competition. You're talking 2 months without these players, mm-hmm. who are so pivotal for us. And it did annoy me when I first heard about it, because, you know, African football has grown so much. You've got players, big African players now coming to the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, with it being in the winter again every 2 years, what is the point? Yeah. If you're signing African players for half a season, it's not expanding African football. And I get why they do it. I get they want to make...
Well, they talk about the weather, isn't it? It's obviously hotter in the summer and what have you. And then there's going to be a conflict because there's going to be the new revised Club World Cup is going to be getting played post-season as well.
They could always make it once every 4 years. Every 2 years is a joke, I think.
Yeah, I think it is a bit much, isn't it? I don't know. Again, it's hard because look, any African viewers watching, how attached to the AFCON are you? It's different for me because how attached to the Euros are you?
But not, the players, they are.
Not really. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, you're a player, you're there. And like, again, to be fair, if I was a player, and I'd want to play, I would want to play for England, and I would want to play in the Euros and stuff. So, it's mainly just because I'm Liverpool first. It annoys me anything that hinders Liverpool's chances of success.
It's like Son with the Asia Trophy for Tottenham, where they were without him. I know that's different circumstances, because obviously you had to do it to avoid going to the military. But yeah. I think... some players really like it. It's like I mentioned Salah, he really wants to win that competition. So to some players, this is everything. But it's also interesting what Arsenal fans must be thinking about it with Aubameyang.
But look at the Klopp mentioned it, and I think it was a little sly reference to the fact that Naby Keita got re-injured basically in the summer. Yeah. He was injured and he got took away. And he said, we tell them they're injured, we have to then pay. Or I think he said they certainly organise the flight and send them over, fly them over to Africa for them to be judged, and they say, well, actually, we might only be out for 2 weeks and then he can play again. So, you've got these lads who, Keita's season's been impacted. I mean, like, Salah, Mane and Firmino's seasons have already been impacted by some football tournaments and obviously Keita. And Keita's has had a more tangible knock-on impact of his season so far. So I understand Klopp's rage. Let us know your thoughts on it. We're going to come to your comments and what have you now, Tom, if you've got something for us.
Yeah. Okay. So talking about, I asked for a few comments on Fabinho and Matip. There we go. Ashley Thumb, talking about Fabinho, says, Fab being back is absolutely boss. Get those long legs in and around the team again. And then Trick Josh says, I can't wait for Fabinho to return. It gives Klopp much more freedom with what subs he uses.
Yeah, absolutely. This is what it's about now. We've gotten through this really, really dense period of fixtures. We've actually got another one coming up on the horizon in the coming weeks. We've handled it admirably. But it's all well and good. We've been so poor in January for a number of seasons, and we're on the verge of actually handling this January really well. But no point if you're borrowing from January. You've borrowed from February to pay January is what we've done there. Like last season, we were impeccable in December, but we had to borrow health and fitness from January to make that a possibility. So we start to get players back now, it certainly makes us just a more threatening proposition all over.
Yes, certainly. And as we've said, Henderson has been so good at filling in for Fabinho. But now we can have Henderson release further forward like we did at the start of the season. And it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, we mentioned Keita's out injured, so it allows us to mess around with Oxlade-Chamberlain. He doesn't have to play every game now, so we can help his fitness. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it gives us a whole different option. And it'll be good to see.
Mm, absolutely. Go on, Tom.
So moving on to Gomez. I asked if Matip should come in instead of Gomez. So Ben Pop says, keep Gomez, he's in good form. Matip might need time to get up to speed. And then Christian W, Gomez has fought his way back from injury and took his chances. He needs to stay in the starting lineup. Matip, as good as he is, needs to do just the same as Gomez did.
Yeah, for me, Matip and Lovren, I should have their eyes on Shrewsbury. They'll be starting that game. They're both fit. They'll start that game at the weekend. And then it's who asserts themselves highest in the pecking order to become the first defensive sub, and that's a big battle for them moving forward. Look, it'd be nice if Gomez stayed fit for the rest of the season. It would be very, very useful, in fact, if he could. But the race is on now. All three of those lads, Gomez, Lovren, and Matip, know that there's no one truly reliable in terms of fitness amongst them. So there might well be an opportunity. And we've seen it happen in January plenty of times before. Lovren's come into a new year as first choice centre half. And ended seasons third or fourth, Matip ends up, this time last year, ends up coming back from injury as we get to the end of the January period and becoming our mainstay from then on.
Yeah, I completely agree with one of the comments where it says about Gomez coming back. He's fought his way back. He had a couple of shaky games at the start, but recently he's been impeccable, hasn't he? He's been outstanding. And the partnership he's made with Van Dijk again, 6 clean sheets in a row. why change it? And I think he has to keep his position, really, at least for Man United. Mm-hmm. Whether he's rotated for Wolves, who knows? He has played a lot of football and it is important to keep his fitness. But I think at least while we keep getting clean sheets, keep going.
I'm not sure there's a game that doesn't suit Gomez really at this time. Maybe somebody who could help aerially bombard, but you've got Virgil but there, and particularly Fabinho comes back. Go on, Tom, one more.
Well, I've got one on the AFCON and then two super chats. Okay. So Colin McClelland, whatever, he says, do you think the AFCON will force our hands to look to buy replacements for our African players?
That definitely. And I think that was one of the things that Klopp kind of alludes to. He said, doesn't make your decision on whether you're like, you're not just going to sell Mane now because you're not going to be able to play. But it does impact who you might buy. And I wonder whether that's like there might have been another African player lined up that he's just thinking, well, what's the point? Because, you know, when we get to the really busy part of the season, well, what's the point in buying another first team quality player that you're not going to have access to?
All aboard the Mbappe 2020 speed train. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Go and watch the youth show to see another debate where we have on Mbappe. quite good. A couple of super chats. Ben Pryor with a blue super chat. Thank you. He says, loves the youth content. You are doing great, Jack.
Cheers. Thanks, Ben Pryor.
There you go. You actually are doing quite a good job. And Mr. A with a green super chat, he says, there are posts on Twitter about coach greeting. Is this true? I personally hope not, as we don't need to intimidate this United team to beat them.
I don't know. I don't know that there will be. Let's be honest, there's a coach greeting every game. The coach drives down pretty much the same route every single time, and people gather and they clap at it, and occasionally the odd smoke bomb goes off or whatever, and a few songs are sung. For me, I don't mind. Look, if people want to do it, they'll do it. I'll go down and see what's going on and all that. Like, I mean, but I was used to the opinion that we should be doing it in a big way for every single game. Yeah. But now I also think it should be saved for the really special occasions, big European nights, games that matter. Is that offensive to say this doesn't matter?
Don't give United that much respect. Do you know, mid-table club. We wouldn't do it for Burnley, would we? So why do it for United?
I think the positives of it is that I don't think their team is mentally strong enough.
No.
That I think if a Man City side crumbles under that environment, I can't see how this Man United side fares any better. But there's no in the comments actually. Yeah, would you do a coach greeting? And I mean by like Barcelona, Dortmund, Man City style mega affairs, or would you actually do the opposite and just have no one turn up? And I didn't realise, show them just how unimportant they are all of a sudden. Let me know in the comments on that one. Just quickly before you go, I just want to draw attention actually to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MateTV, where I do a lot of one-on-one chats talking about football, do the vlogs around the games as well. And I've got a new video going up where I was over on the Football Index podcast. We're going to be doing some more work with them in the coming weeks. So anyway, that'll be out hopefully this evening. Head over, click the subscribe button and all that, and it all helps. Other than that, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Jack. Been a pleasure. Make sure you check out Red Men Academy as well, Jack's new sister channel to this one. Brother channel, cousin channel, friend channel, offspring channel. It's all good anyway. Other than that, we'll see you very soon. Ta-da.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.